past week we started this series called The Wanderers, and we are kind of following the journey of Israel as they come out of Egypt and try to enter into the Promised Land, and how I think all of us are on a journey. Years and years and years ago, I talked to you about roads are simply things that take you places. All of us are on a road that's leading us somewhere. And, you know, we can be on the same road and hope things are different, and wish things are different, and pray for things to be different. But if that's the road you're on, it's leading you to a designated place. Amen? Amen. So we got to learn how to take exits. And God has brought Israel out of Egypt. He has shown them power and might and conquered them, and then all sorts of stuff. They're coming out. They're headed towards the Promised Land. And there are some challenges that they experience. And we're going to take the next couple of weeks and talk about some of the challenges and how we may see in them some things that may be in us. And so we're going to get into the Word, and we're going to get into it, and we're going to see what God has to say. So let's take a moment, let's pray, and let's just invite the Lord into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Word will become alive today. More than just ink on page. Your Word says that it is living, Lord Jesus. It is living. It is for us. It is with us. It shapes us. It helps us. And so, God, as we get into the Word, may you, through the words you have given me, Father, may you help me help it get into us so that we might be what you say we are. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the premise of this series is twofold. We started last week talking about them coming out of Egypt and them failing kind of to get into the Promised Land. The premise is this: don't be afraid of what God is trying to lead you out of. That was the very first premise, because sometimes there are things that God's saying, I want you to step out. I want you to not be in that place anymore. I have something new. I've got a new place. I've got a new journey. I've got a new aspect of life, a new avenue of blessing. And sometimes we can be afraid of change and be scared about stepping out of where we've been. And so the first premise is, don't be afraid of what God is taking you out of. And the second thing is, don't be afraid of what God is leading you into. We know that Israel made some commentaries say 4 days, some say 7 days, but they literally left Egypt, went straight to the edge of the river of the Promised Land, sent spies in, even though God said you could just go in and conquer it, and they came back with a bad report. So, man, there's walled cities, there's giants, there's the land is absolutely, I love this. Everything God said was true, flows with milk and honey. They said, you won't even believe the fruit that we've seen. So they had to bring some back just to show. Because if we came back and told you about this, told you about the blessings, you wouldn't even believe it. So we had to cut off a piece, bring it back, and carry it so you could see it with your own eyes. That's how amazing this place was. But there are walled cities. But we saw the sons of Anak there. We saw giants. We saw things. I don't think we can conquer that. I don't think we can beat that. And sometimes you and I, maybe this morning, are sitting in a place that God is calling us into something. But when we look at it, we acknowledge God's there. We acknowledge the blessing, but we also see the struggles and the battles ahead. And we sometimes get afraid. Don't be afraid of what God is leading you out of. And don't be afraid of what God is trying to lead you into, because he will fight your battles. And we saw that in the Word last week. Now, up to this point, Israel's come out of Egypt out of 400 years of slavery. They left as they were leaving the country of Egypt, that the people of Egypt came out and gave them, Scripture says, gave them the riches of the country. They just left blessed. God has shown his power through the plagues, showing that he is greater than Pharaoh and greater than any of the gods of Egypt. And that Israel has seen that God is mighty, that God is for them, that God will fight for his people. And then they get out and they get to the Red Sea and they look back over the shoulder and here come the armies of Pharaoh, and they're coming to get them, to capture them, to take them back. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives. We get a breakout. We have a move of God. We have God do something, stir something in our spirits, in our hearts. And we say, oh, thank God, I'm not that person anymore. And we live a little while, and we know the enemy wants to come and take you back to that. And they got scared and they freaked out. And God says, guys, listen, I am with you. I am for you. Israel's just seen his power. And when they come to the Red Sea, God parts it with a strong wind. They cross on dry land. The Egyptian army says, if they can do it, We can do it. How many of you ever done something stupid because they did it? Oh, my heavens. There have been more rednecks die following the phrase, well, if you can do it, I can do it. In Exodus 15, you know the story. The Egyptians go down into it and the water collapses and the whole army is destroyed. And Israel yet again sees God's might, sees God's power. And in Exodus 15, they're literally walking away from that moment. I mean, we're talking fresh. They've just seen God be God again, and they're walking away from that moment, and you know, the army of Pharaoh is destroyed. Moses and Miriam begin to lead this song, and I want to read you just a little bit of it. The whole song is in Exodus 15, 1 through 22, but I'm only going to read you the first couple of verses. I'm going to read the paraphrase, and it says this: and Moses looks to Aaron and says, yo, give me a beat. My translation may be a little different than yours. Exodus 15, 1 through 4. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. My goodness. Can you imagine that moment where you have stood on the edge of what you thought was going to be your destruction or your capture? God shows up. God moves. It's powerful. It's amazing. You cross over. I mean, you're walking through the Red Sea, waters, wall. You're looking in the fish and stuff. You're thinking, I cannot believe this is happening. You get to the other side. You see your enemies coming, and God wipes them all out. And then someone starts a song. I'm telling you, even if you can't sing, you're singing. Moving, powerful, anointing, a moment you'll never forget. You ever had a moment you'll never forget? Sings the song of God's power and his might. And straight from there, it says, straight from there, God leads his people and they're singing. And they begin this journey. And it says they go 3 days into the wilderness of Shur. Wildernesses do something. 3 days from this incredible anointing, incredible move of God, incredible worship service, incredible miracle. And they're going. And man, you know, that sets you on a mountaintop. According to this, it takes you about 3 days to get down to the valley. They go from this mountaintop experience, and day one, they're walking. And they're like, man, did you see the chariots flipping and horses were swimming? I was walking. I looked, and there was a fish. I reached in and grabbed it, took a bite. It was sushi. It was awesome. And then, you know, just they're, day two, they're like, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, dude, we just talked about this. Day three, I'm hot. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. We left Egypt. God did cool stuff. We got to the Red Sea. God did cool stuff. Now we're out in the middle of the wilderness and I haven't got anything to drink and I'm thirsty. Moses 15, 22 to 24. The adrenaline has worn off. The emotion has waned. The experience has passed. And now they're just 3 days into a wilderness. Exodus 15, 22 to 24. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea and they went to the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. And I love in parentheses, that's why the place is called Marah. We're going to get into that. It was named for its situation. It was named for its circumstance. So the people grumbled against Moses saying, what are we to drink? Isn't it amazing? The same mouths that 3 days ago were worshiping him and praising him and thanking him for his might and his power and his covering. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our warrior. Thank you for being our champion. The same mouths that were praising him are now complaining. And Marah means bitter or bitterness. You ever had a bitter moment? Ever had things just kind of going along great, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a wilderness with bitter waters? Ever come out of an experience or a moment with God and then find yourself in a place that just seems too hard and too hopeless? Verse 23 says it was called Marah because of the bitter waters. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or seen this, but if given time, we can begin to identify people by their struggles or by their situations, by their hardships or by their bitter waters. You ever found yourself describing someone to somebody? Yeah, no, they sit towards the back. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, they just went through that divorce. Oh, them. Oh, you know that from yesterday. I was driving to our house. We had gone out. We're running around. I look, I could see smoke coming up. And I'm like, man, that's a house fire. That's a house fire. So we kind of drive through the neighborhood, and I just kind of see it's back, and there's fire trucks, everything. Later that day, I kind of walked back, and I recognized the family. Actually, I knew the family. And whole house just gutted. Whole house just gutted. There are neighbors who will define that situation, or people who will define. Well, here, I'm doing it right now while I'm standing here. They're the family whose home burned down. We do this too quickly. We do this so easily. We do this because we say we want intimacy and community, but really what we want is information. We want the know. Verse 23 says they called it Marah because it was bitter waters. And sometimes we do this to each other. We identify each other by our situations, by our struggles, by our hardships. And it's nothing new. Luke 18. Jesus is passing by Jericho, and as it goes, Scripture says there was a certain blind man sitting alongside the road. And as he heard that Jesus passed by, he began to shout out and cry out, "O thou son of David, have mercy on me." And people shushed him. They said, "Hey, hey, hey, leave the master alone." And he cried out all the louder, and Jesus stopped and came to him and said, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "I want to see." And God healed him. What's his name? We don't know. Who is he? He's just a blind guy who sat outside of Jericho. Luke 8, there was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years who spent all she had. She had no hope. She had no other options. Heard that Jesus passed by, and she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. I can be cleansed." And so she fought her way through the crowd, touching the hem of his garment. Jesus stopped immediately, looking to those around him, and says, "Power has gone out." She said, "Lord, it is I." He says, "Your faith has healed you." What was her name? We don't know. A woman that we identified by her situation. A woman that we identified by her circumstance. They did it then. We do it now. You're going to see as we walk through this series, there's really some amazing stuff that happens. Because every time Israel gets hit with a challenge, they turn on Moses like that. Oh, my heavens. What have you done? Why are we here? We were better off back in Egypt. And sometimes we think these things when we're in the wilderness. Sometimes we think these things when we're trying to drink bitter waters. One of the commentaries I read about this passage said this, that the wilderness, they described it as simply our disappointments. You see, we sometimes look at something like that and we think, oh, just a major. No, what if it's just? What if your wilderness, what if your bitter waters this morning are just the things that disappoint you? You thought you had the job, but they gave it to somebody else. Bless you. That's bitter water, isn't it? You thought you were feeling good and great, but the doctor told you otherwise. It's disappointments. Your spouse doesn't live up to what you think or what you thought. It's a disappointment. It wasn't the end result that you had hoped for or thought it would be. We get disappointed and it feels like bitter waters to us. And we can all have seasons that seem like all we do and all the waters we sip are bitter. Am I being honest? Or am I just talking to myself today?
We have these disappointments, and all believers, when things are going great, it's easy to be nice. When things are going excellent, it's easy to be religious. How you doing? Oh, bless God. How are you? I am blessed and highly favored. Oh, when things are good, oh my goodness, we just love Jesus so much. But when the trials come, when the waters are bitter, when people are identifying you by your situation or your circumstance and not who God says you are, it's very easy, and we're very easily tempted, and we very easily fall into worry and distrust and complaining. The same tongue that sang his praise can complain about him or tear another down so quickly. When we are in the midst of a wilderness and finding ourselves sipping bitter waters. So how do we get from the victory and the miracle of the Red Sea to the bitter waters of Marah? Well, I think sometimes it works out like this. We have a moment. We have a God moment. We have a moment God shows up. We have a situation. It doesn't have to be big. It's big to you. Maybe you prayed a little prayer and no one else knew, and God answers that prayer, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's really listening. You remember that moment you have that awareness? You pray, you don't really know if God hears, all of a sudden God goes, I hear you, and you go, oh dear God. You have this moment with God, and it's great. You have a breakthrough, and things are good, and we sense his presence, and we feel like we're walking in his anointing, and you grow, and you kind of see your faith get stronger, and you go a week or 2 weeks, you go a month or two, and things are nice, and things are good. But you know what happens is we kind of leave the Red Sea, and we get a couple of days out into life, and all of a sudden the emotion begins to wane a little bit. The adrenaline starts coming down a little bit. What you experienced is great, but it's in your past a little bit. Life becomes normal again. Priorities begin to change bit by bit. Not big sweeping changes, but little ones here and little ones there. And you find yourself kind of slipping back into an old pattern of thinking, an old way of believing about something. Life starts getting filled up with other things, and all of a sudden you miss your time in the Word one day, which isn't a big deal. There's no crime or sin in that, you know, but you miss it, and you get so busy. Oh, I'll catch up tomorrow, and I'll do my reading then. And all of a sudden it's a couple of days later, you miss again. And then it just kind of begins, just little steps, just little things, just little foxes. One Sunday you wake up and you're just tired. And you say, let's skip Sunday school. Let's just get there for service. And so you start there. And then it's like, hey, let's get there for just service. You're not even talking about Sunday school anymore. But you don't show up at 10:30. You come walking in at quarter to 11. Maybe it's a Sunday, just the weather's too nice, and so you stay home. And I have said this before, and I'll say it again. I do believe sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. I genuinely believe that. But it's not just on Sunday you have to do that. And so it happens. It's just life normalizes a little bit, and you just kind of get back and to the rhythm. And here it's an occasional Sunday or whatever, or miss this, or won't read that. And just bit by bit, but all of a sudden it becomes a little more regular. And the thing is this, you don't feel it at first. It's like those of you who work out, and when you're working out and you feel a certain strength, and you work out with a certain level, and as you get stronger, you move the weight up. Now, if you were working out with 100, you go to 110. And as you work out that, then you go to 120. And then you kind of get to 150. And if you get away from a couple of weeks and go back and try to start at the 150, it's heavier and it's harder than you remember. You don't always feel it at first. But as you go, and it's not that things are necessarily bad, it's just that things aren't necessarily what they used to be. And so we wander. And we get thirsty. And we find springs and we say, oh, thank God. And we sip it and it's bitter. Maybe even have a come to Jesus moment. Kind of one of those things where you're just saying, hey, it's been a little while and I've kind of gotten off track. I'm going to get me on track. Maybe you're just one of those self-starters, self-motivators, you know, and that's, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. And I kind of get in trouble here because I make up my mind and this is how it's going to go if it kills me. And I've had this conversation with my wife. Wes, you cannot do that. You're diabetic, your heart attack. Hey, if I die, I'm dying for Jesus. Yeah, that's what I want to hear, Wes. Well, I'm fine. It's going to work out. Just wake up throughout the night and make sure I'm not cold and stiff, all right? Just I have told her, listen, if I get the shakes, just dump some sugar water down my throat. Set me up, rub my, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I'm God's favorite. And so you have this come to Jesus moment and you're going to get back on track because you realize you've missed your time with him. You have missed your corporate times of worship, gathering yourself together with people of like precious faith. You've missed the word. So we grab the word. We turn to our favorite passage to get on track, to get ready to take a nice cool drink. And you read the verse and it just doesn't feel like it used to feel. You read the word, but it's like a chore. You read the word, but it wasn't as easy as it used to be. It's harder now. And it's like, well, I used to read a chapter and we so I'll just read a couple of verses this time. And it's just, it takes more work. It doesn't have the same life-giving feel that it has like it was before. And there's nothing worse than when you want to feel his presence and when you need to taste cool waters and it's bitter. So Israel's come 3 days out into the wilderness. They're tired, they're hot, they're thirsty. They look ahead, they see a small oasis, and oh, how excited they must have been. And they run, they make their way. Moses scoops up some water, takes a big gulp of it, and just spits it back out. He sees others begin to do the same. He must have been disappointed too. He had to have been discouraged as well. But when you read the story, Moses and the people of Israel handle it very differently. See, the people of Israel had seen God as warrior. They'd seen God as defender. They haven't seen him as provider yet. We know he'll fight our battles. He's shown us that. But we're just thirsty now. And Moses, what are you going to do about it? Exodus 15:24. So the people grumbled against Moses saying, what are we to drink? You know why the waters were bitter? The waters were bitter because their hearts were. Moses, when faced with the bitter water, he cried out to God. Israel, faced with the bitter waters, turned on their leader. Israel still had bitterness in their hearts. You see, when you find yourself in the wilderness with bitter waters, I want to ask you, who do you cry out to first? Do you cry out to God or do you complain? In moments of pressure, what is inside of you comes out of you. External obstacles can reveal internal realities. Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes God leads us into wildernesses. Sometimes God leads us to the place of Mara, bitter waters, to reveal what's in our hearts and to teach us that not only is he warrior, not only is he protector who fights for his people, but he's also healer of his people and a provider of his people. And sometimes in the journey as we wander, you know what, we can sip the bitterness. Not where we were, but not yet where we're heading. We're not in Egypt anymore, we're growing. We're not just in Egypt anymore, we're going somewhere. We believe that God has a purpose and a mission for our lives and for our church, and we're going. But as we're going, we're not where we're supposed to be yet. And along the way sometimes, we can have those Mara moments, those sip the bitterness moments. And I know it slips in, and I know it gets in us, and I know our spirits wrestle with it. And you say, hey, listen, why do you think like that? And you know, if you grew up like I grew up, you would see it like this. Pastor, if you experienced what I experienced, you would react like that. If they said to you what they said to me, or if they did to you what they did to me, you would understand. If they hurt you like they hurt me, you would understand and you would be the same way. God is trying to teach Israel that when you walk with me, I'll be your protector. When you walk with me, I'm going to be your provider. But even if you come to bitter waters, you don't have to become bitter people. You don't have to sip it the way it is. Even though I walk through hard times, I don't have to become hard-hearted. Even when people try to poison my spirit and poison me, my attitude with their attitude, I don't have to be poisoned because He is a God who heals. And I love that God will always show you what you need. Exodus 15:25. Israel's complaining to Moses. What have you done? What are you going to do? Why can't we go back? Moses cries out to God. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Some translations say a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and an instruction for them and put them to the test. Some translations say a tree or a piece of wood. Several of the commentaries I read about this said that the tree, that the wood in this represents the cross. All of us in life have our wilderness moments. All of us in life have our bitter waters. And bitter waters are never fun, and bitter waters are no good for you, and bitter waters harm us. Bitter waters become our identity if you stay there. But God says, because of the cross, the bitter waters don't have to destroy you. Because of the cross, I can turn any situation that the enemy has meant for evil, and I can take and I can make it good that blesses your life and blesses the lives of those around you. Does that make it easier to go through? No. Does that make it more fun to go through? Absolutely not. Pain is pain. But when we bring our bitterness to the cross, God can take it and His goodness can make it sweet. And God can take what was bitter and make it usable, and He can heal us. Some of us today need truth spoken into the waters of our lives. Others today need a healing to take place so that the truth can become joyful again. You see, for truth to have life, it has to exist not just in our heads, but also in our hearts. It's awesome that you can quote a book of the Bible, but do you live it? We need wood in the water. We need to not just know, but to remember that allowing Christ and what He has done for us, that gets applied to the bitter waters, and it makes a difference, and it changes us, and it releases us from a moment. God can teach us something at Mara, if you'll let Him. To move past the bitterness and to learn again the goodness of His Word. To learn again how to love my neighbor as myself. Throwing the wood in the water was such a simple thing, but an act of obedience makes a huge difference in the way that truth impacts our lives. It's got to be more than just knowing. It's got to be doing. And if you desire this morning to move past the bitter waters in your life, truth must impact your life. And so Israel learned that day that God is not just a warrior, that He's not just your protector. They learned that He was a provider and a healer of our waters as well. And I love this. Then God makes them a promise in Exodus 15:26-27. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God, and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His command and keep all His decrees or His laws, I will not bring on you any disease that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So He gives them the promise. And then look what He does. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near water. 12 springs, fresh water, more than they could drink. And God let them settle. I'm going to teach you something, and I'm going to settle you. How do I get to Elim? Well, He tells us this. Listen, that's what He says. Listen, give attention to my word and my voice. Give attention to my word and my voice. You want to move out of a bitter water situation? Get into His word and listen for His voice. He says this, don't let your life grow stagnant. Act on what you hear and what you know. Still waters become stagnant. Keep moving towards Him. He tells them to keep the commandments, live in obedience. And the truth of the matter is, folks, and you know this as well as I do, we don't want to talk about it, but it isn't truth that we lack. It is obedience. We know truth. And the last thing He says, cover. He says, He will cover you. He is your provider and your healer. So you say, Pastor, that's awesome. That's good. So how do I know if I'm in bitter waters? How do I know? How do I know if I'm in a Mara moment? Because you know what we do is we normalize things, don't we? When you first come into a situation, this is hard, this is terrible, I don't like this. But the longer we're in a situation, the more we normalize it.
this becomes regular. Here's a couple of really quick questions to ask to help you identify that. Number one, does it seem like everything is hard? Does it seem like everything is hard? Doesn't matter what you try to do, it's tough. All I'm trying to do is get the kids to school and drop them off, but the line is 8 miles long. I get in the line, my gas light comes on. I don't know if I'm going to drop them off or run out of gas. It just seems like nothing you do is ever simple, and everything. We used to call it the Johnson curse growing up. Jobs that should take a day or in an hour took a day. Jobs that should take a day took a week. Jobs that should take a week took a month. Things that took a month we didn't plan because it was just way too depressing. Does it seem like everything is hard? Number two, does it seem like there is no help or no change in sight? Do you find yourself wrestling with, well, this is just the way life's going to be? You might be sipping bitter waters. Do you feel like in your life you go from disappointment to disappointment? Question number three. You get through something and it's hard and it's tough and it pushes you to the edge, but you say, you know, I don't know, I'm just going to trust God. God's all I got. I feel like the disciples said, to whom shall I go? I'm going to stick with you, Jesus. And I get through that moment and I go, thank God that season is over. Thank God that test is over. And you turn around. It's like, well, what's this? You know, can't something go right? If you feel like in your life, you just kind of go from disappointment to disappointment. You may be in the wilderness. You may be at Mara. You might be sipping bitter waters. And you know what happens? Even though it's bad and it's nasty, it's just become so normal. You just think that's how your water tastes. Number four, are you struggling to believe? Say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. I'm here. It's not ridiculous. You find yourself when no one's looking. You find yourself when you're it's by yourself. And you just kind of go, what is going on? God, I've read this. And I know. And I've seen you do it. Where are you? This is worth dealing with in our lives because look at what he brought them to from this moment, from this place of God saying, listen, if you've got bitter waters, let's address it. If you've got bitterness in your heart, let's deal with it. If you've got things in your spirit that you've normalized or spiritualized or Christianized or whatever word you want to use, where you just say, well, I'm just walking through a season. I just praise. No. But that's what we say. But inside we're wrestling and we're toiling, going from disappointment to disappointment, wondering why everything is so stinking hard, wondering why it's got to be like this. You look at the head and say, I don't see change. I know God can do it, but God's not doing it for me. He takes him to a place with 12 springs and 70 palm trees. Listen, every lesson leads to blessing. Every lesson leads to blessing. And so you got to know that when God brings you to the wilderness, when he brings you to the Marah, to the bitter waters, that there's something God is trying to teach you. And as people, we've got to be able to be real and be honest and be genuine and to see with eyes that really see within our spirits to say, what is in my heart? Do I cry out to God when the pressure's on? Or do I start complaining? Do I start throwing people under the bus? I'm going to wrap up this morning by just asking you this question. What's in your water today? What's in your water today? It's an insecurity. Maybe your past. Maybe a sin or a struggle that you have that no one else does. No one else knows. Maybe it's doubt. We say all the right things, but we wrestle to really believe that God's going to come through for you because it doesn't feel like there's help on the way. It doesn't feel like there's a horizon. God's your warrior, but he hasn't changed your waters yet. Maybe it's fear that you're not enough. Maybe you've been disappointed by other people today. They've hurt you. They've wounded you. Maybe you've even felt disappointed by God. See, we aren't what we used to be, but we aren't yet where we're going to be. We're wandering. We're on a journey. And as we wander, sometimes there are things that get in the water and make it bitter, but we can allow God to make that bitter thing sweet if you'll let Him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.